I'm morning at today's Daf and Tzvachim is Chav Zion. We're going to start today at the Mishnah on Chavav Amad Aleph in the very bottom. And although this is part of yesterday's Daf, but in terms of the Sugya, so it really is the entirety of today's Daf. So it's kind of a good place to start. We are behind, so it's a good excuse as well. But either way, though, it is a good place to start, though, in terms of going through the Sugya. Tomorrow, we begin the Sugya of Pigel, but kind of a misnomer in that we're going to be discussing a lot of pigel today in today's daf as well. I told you the Masechta, especially in the first section of the Masechta, is going to be spending a considerable amount of time with pigel. We're going to delve into the topic. It's one of the Gemara's more favored topics in terms of zvachim, in terms of karbanos. But in the meantime, however, let's start with our Mishnah. Now I know you're not going to see pigel in our Mishnah, but you will see it later on. A review of the Mishnah later on will show you that there is pigel in our Mishnah, albeit it's kind of encoded. It's tucked away in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah at face value is talking about a very simple scenario in which we know that so far we talked about Shechita, not in such great detail. We talked about the Kabbalah Saddam in some detail. And so after Kabbalah Saddam, so then the next step is going to be Zrika. Now, of course, there's Halach in between, and the Halach is an Avodah, although, you know, somewhat debatable. We discussed earlier in the Masechta. Whether or not holach is considered a bona fide avodah, it is something which is avoidable. You don't have to do holacha. You could check the animal right up against the mizbeach, and then you won't have to be doing holacha. But okay, but in any event, though, for sure the three that we could talk about is shechita, kabbalah, and zrika. Now, zrika is very simple. Zrika, once the blood is collected in the bowl, so now you're going to be sprinkling on the mizbeach. Where in the mizbeach are you going to sprinkle it? Well, it depends on the carbon. In other words, some carbonus, the sprinkling is going to be just one application. And some carbonus, it's going to be two, which is for shtayim shein dalet. Shtayim shein dalet meaning that you're going to be hitting the two opposite sides of the mizbeach, and you're going to be hitting the corners of the two opposite sides of the mizbeach. So in doing so, you're going to be hitting with the two applications, you're going to be hitting four walls. And then there are some applications that are going to require all four, like a carbon chatos. A carbon chatos requires all four. Another thing, which again, the Mishnah hasn't really taught us all these halachas yet, meaning that's coming up later in the Masechta, but it expects us to know this information, is in terms of whether it has to be lamal or lamata, above or below. There is the mizbech itself is 10 tefachim high, and right at the 5 tefach mark, there is a chotasikra, there's a red line. And that red line serves as a demarcation between the upper part of the mizbech and the lower part of the mizbech. Most of the karbanos, blood is going to be sprinkled on the lower part of the mizbech. Dam chasis is going to be sprinkled in the upper part of the mizbeach. That's as it relates to an animal. When it comes to birds, it's just the opposite. Flip for birds. So ola on top, chasis on the bottom. But in any event, though, there is a location in which the blood has to be placed on the mizbeach. Both in terms of location, east, west, north, south, and in terms of up or below. Okay. We also know, I mentioned this one more word of introduction. I mean, you know, you look at the picture of the Beis HaMikdash and you'll see it very clearly, that there's a ramp going up to the Mizbeach. The ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach, we're going to be discussing it in much greater detail later in the Masechta. We're going to be giving it dimensions and we'll talk about the angle in which it goes up to the Mizbeach. But basically, look, the Mizbeach is 10 tefachim up in the air, which, by the way, is not perfectly accurate because the chronos, the horns of the Mizbeach are 10 tefachim in the air. But the rest of the Mizbeach, I'm sorry, did I say 10 tefachim? 10 amos, thank you. It's 10 amos in the air, but to get to the top of the Mizbeach, it's 9 amos high. 9 amos high is very tall. In other words, it's that minimum, we're talking about 16 feet in the air. So in other words, to get onto the top of the Mizbeach, so you need a ramp to go up to the top of the Mizbeach. So there's a ramp. The ramp is referred to in the Torah as a kevesh. That's the ramp that takes us up to the top. So this is not part of the Mizbeach, meaning it's just simply, the Kipshuto, it's just simply a way to facilitate for somebody to get to the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, so all this, in other words, so we have a lot of just basic information that we need to know before going to the Mishnah. I'll mention one other point before we start with the Mishnah, and that's the Yesod, that's the foundation of the Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach has, on the bottom of it, a Yesod, a foundation running alongside it. When I say a foundation, everything's got a foundation, but in other words, it juts out a little bit from the rest of the Mizbeach. Meaning, so for the first Amma of the Mizbeach, it's one Amma up and one Amma across, so you have a Yesod. This Yesod HaMizbeach, the foundation of the Mizbeach, does not go around the entire perimeter of the Mizbeach, but rather it only goes along the north and along the west side of the Mizbeach. The Yesod does not follow down the south, and none does not go up to the east, on the east side of the Mizbeach. For reasons which we're going to discuss later, it has to do with the division of the Beis HaMikdash between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin, which we'll talk about later in the Masechta. But anyway, so not all the perimeter, not all all four sides of the Mizbeach have Yesod. Only basically the north and the west side have Yesod. The east and the south don't have Yesod. However, if you look at the picture, you watch it carefully, you'll see that it does jut a little bit. In other words, when you get to the northeast corner, so it juts down just a little bit. When you get to the southwest corner, it juts out to the south a little bit. Okay, but anyway, so there's something referred to as the Yesod, which also is important.
Is there any symbolism of these vikas 2 and 4?
Yeah, I'm sure. Anything I can. You know, articulately explain now within the next minute? No, but in other words, I'm sure. So now what we're going to be dealing with in our Mishnah is something really simple, something straightforward, and that is, he did this because Adam, he sprinkled the blood, but in the wrong location, the Mizbeach. And so, as the old expression goes, you know, horseshoes, hand grenades, so close is pretty good, but in terms of the Mizbeach, so Zrikas Adam, Shalom Bimkamo, not in the right place. How do we view that? The Mishnah here addresses that very simple question. Nasu Agabe Kevish Lo Kenegede Yesod, Nasu Nesin Tan Lamala. Let me read it slower. Nasu Agabe Kevish is the first time we're reading it. Nasu Agabe Kevish, so you put the blood on the ramp. Okay, now, the first case of the Mishnah is really, really, in other words, you're off base, meaning you are not even on the Mizbech, you're on the ramp. Okay, so clearly you have not hit the mark. Or, Shalom Kenegede Yesod. Or, you're hitting a corner that does not have Yesod around it, as I explained earlier. Three of the corners do have the Yesod, but a fourth corner does not have the Yesod, and you sprinkle the blood where there's no Yesod. Nasa nesanitanam lamata lamala, vesanitan lamala lamata. Also, the Mishnah talks about where you sprinkle the blood above where it should have gone below the Chuta Sikra, or you sprinkle the below where it should have gone above the Chuta Sikra. Vesanitanam bifnim bechutz, vesanitanam bechutz bifnim. The last case of the Mishnah also requires a little bit of an intro. We've seen this earlier, but let's go over this again. Generally speaking, most of the karbanos, the blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbech. There are, however, some karbanos where the blood is sprinkled on the inner mizbech. Notably, par helm davishol tzibor, the par of the Kohen Gadol, in the event that he also violates one of the yisuri kares, and Yom Kippur. So for these special karban chatzis, they are not sprinkled on the outer mizbech, but they're sprinkled on the inner mizbech. Actually, there's more than that. They're sprinkled in the direction of the peroches, then they're sprinkled on the inner mizbech, and then the remaining of the blood is poured on the yisod mizbech. But that is considered the chatos apnimios. The carbon chatos is where the blood is actually brought into the actual building itself, and sprinkled against the curtain and on the four corners of the mizbech hazav, also called the mizbech haketoros. Says the Mishnah, if I were to take the blood of a chatos apnimios and sprinkle on the outer mizbech, or conversely, if I were to take the blood of an outer mizbech and sprinkle on the inner mizbech, so the Mishnah says pasul v'ein bo karis. So the Mishnah says in all these cases is pasul and ein bo karis, and it's not subject to karis. Now, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is as follows. In other words, that's so good. Meaning you didn't apply the blood to the right place. You didn't sprinkle the blood in the right location, and as a result of that, it's no good. Now, when it says no good, so then I certainly understand the word pasul. Meaning pasul tells us that it's no good. However, the Mishnah then also says ein bo karis, and there's no karis. Where's that coming from? That last three words of the Mishnah, ein bo karis. That's really, it seems to be out of place. Meaning, what karis is there even to talk about over here? Meaning, when we're talking about sprinkling the blood, so yes, the Kohen needs to sprinkle in the right location. And yet he didn't do so. He sprinkled in the wrong location. Would there have been a consideration that there might have been some karis to talk about? And the Mishnah therefore has to go out of its way to say, and don't worry, in Bokaris, there's no karis over here. What's the Mishnah doing over here as it introduces us to the idea that there's no karis in these circumstances? Well, it's really not similar, meaning... Okay, but that's a machshava. That's when the Kohen...
This is an action. Yeah.
No, it's not worse. It's not worse. In other words, pigles limited only to where the Kohen says, while doing any one of the avodas, I'm going to do a chutzim kamo. Or chutz zmano. Over here, though, he's just taking the blood. He's sprinkling in the wrong place. So in other words, so stay tuned. Meaning I'm sending a...
Huh?
Yeah, but why would I have thought there should be curries for eating the carbon? Okay, the carbon's no good, but... Okay, so then in other words, you're eating something that's not right? Okay, anyway, I'm setting us up. I know, I kind of know the answer coming up, but the... okay, anyway, the... We're going to obviously come back to that point. We start with the Gemara over here, and the Gemara now, if we can divide today's daf, I mean, I know we're still on yesterday's daf, but if we could divide today's daf, basically it's very simple in terms of structure, meaning what we're going to now see in our Mishnah are three opinions amongst the Amoraim. Shmuel, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan. Shmuel will cover from here until the middle of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Reish Lakish will be just a short amount on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and then Rav Yochanan also on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And these three opinions in the Mishnah are all going to be addressing the same question, which is, when the Mishnah says pasul, what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says pasul? You and I thought, if we didn't know any better, if I didn't know any better, I would say pasul means pasul, meaning that the carbon's no good, meaning you sprinkle the blood in the wrong location, and that's it, and what you did is no good. You are going to have to explain the words ein bo kareis, meaning that's going to require an explanation, but okay. Meaning, we'll worry about that. But seemingly what pasul means is pasul means it's no good. It's simply no good. And the reason why it's no good, also a very simple explanation. Because you didn't apply the blood to the right place in the Mizbeach. Every carbon has a specific location where the blood needs to be applied. You didn't apply it to the right location, so therefore it's pasul. That would have been the easiest and simplest way to explain the Mishnah. And stay tuned as some Amoraim, there are three altogether in the sugya, Shmuel, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, some Amoraim do not learn the Mishnah Kipshuta. Let's start off with Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. Pasul basar avabal niskapru. So Shmuel said, when Shmuel learns the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says the word pasul, the word pasul is simply going on the meat itself. The Mishnah is only talking about the meat when it says pasul. As far as the owner of the carbon is concerned, the owner gets a check. Remember, from the owner's perspective, what he wants to know is that the carbon was brought, and the bringing of the carbon, in essence, means that the blood was nizrak ala mizbeach. That is where kapara is achieved, and that's now where the owner gets a check in the box. The owner of the carbon now no longer needs to bring another carbon. The carbon has been brought. According to Shmuel, if the blood has been applied to the wrong location, so the owner still gets a check. My taima, the amakra. Now, okay, let's see first a little bit of Gemara.
The word pasul has been used in many different times. So why is this different?
So let's give it a moment. Let's see some Gemara. My time, Damakrav. Anina sat lechem alam is bech lechaper. In other words, the Torah, in describing it, says that I gave you the mizbech as a kapara, meaning the mizbech, ha mizbech. Kevin shekia dam la mizbech niskaper balam. So, in other words, as long as it's a mizbech, so the owner received a kapara. So he halchi baser nami. So the Gemara says, okay. So, in other words, you're telling me that look, really there are localized areas where the blood should be applied to. But really the truth of the matter is that the Mizbeach is the Mizbeach. And as long as the blood hit the Mizbeach, so then we're all good. So then if we're all good, so then why can't we eat the meat? So the Gemara says, Amakra lechaper. Now the Gemara says, no, you know what the Mizbeach is all good for? The Mizbeach is all good for kapara. However, lechaper nosati v'lo ledavar acher. But in other words, it's not good, it's not all good for other halachas, meaning as far as kapara is concerned, a kapara is achieved the moment the blood hits the Mizbeach. What part of the Mizbeach? Any part of the Mizbeach. In terms of now the allowance for the eating of the meat, so no, for that, it's not enough just simply to hit the Mizbech, but you gotta hit the Mizbech in the right location. Only when you hit the Mizbech with the blood on the right location, then and only then are you allowed to eat the meat. Otherwise, you cannot eat the meat, but kapara has been achieved.
In original, you could lose as an incentive for the Kohen not to make the same mistake again. Now he's not gonna get the meat, so next time he's gonna be more careful.
Alright, but it could be, we could be talking about a shlamim, and the owners are eating the shlamim, not the Kohen. Okay, and whatever. I don't. Again, the halacha is the halacha. I don't know if you know incentive is the issue over here. Amakas savishlam bimkamakim kamadami. And here comes the key line of the Gemara in terms of explaining Shmuel, and that is shalom bimkamakim kamadami. That in other words, even though you didn't hit the right location, but nevertheless shalom bimkamo is considered makamo, meaning that. But that's good enough. Meaning basically, like I said earlier in the Mishnah, it's like horseshoes, it's like hand grenades. Meaning close is good enough. So as long as you hit the Mizbeach, Shalom Bimkamo, it now is going to qualify as Mekamo. Now, if you go back to the Mishnah, now we'll pause from the Gemara, and now we'll think about this for just a moment. You go back to the Mishnah, so certain cases in the Mishnah are totally understandable, and other cases in the Mishnah are less than understandable. Meaning in the Mishnah, we talk about cases where the blood should have gotten on the upper part of the Mizbeach and hit the lower part of the Mizbeach, or vice versa. Good. So in other words, you're close. And you hit the Mizbeach. Another case in the Mishnah is where you hit on the side of the Mizbeach where there's no Yisod. Okay, good. Meaning you didn't hit the right location of the Mizbeach, but you hit the Mizbeach. But there are other cases in the Mishnah, however, like for example, the first case in the Mishnah. Where did you hit it? You hit the ramp. The ramp? The ramp is not the Mizbeach. The ramp is just simply a way to get to the Mizbeach. Or another case in the Mishnah is that it was a Chatzas HaPnimis, and what you did is you took the blood and you sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach. You're also totally off base. Meaning it doesn't belong in the outer Mizbeach, it belongs in the inner. So in other words, when Shmuel's making this statement that close is good enough, and as long as you hit the Mizbeach, you're in a Kapara, is he going in all the cases on the Mishnah? Really hard. It's hard to argue that.
You could argue that the Mizbeach is Mizbeach, and even the ramp is part of the Mizbeach.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. So I'm just simply now stressing is that you have to, even in the Mishnah itself, parts of the Mishnah are perfectly understandable, parts of the Mishnah are going to be a little bit harder to explain. Happens to be Tosos' opinion over here. I'm going to read inside. Tosos on Chavav Amud Beis, the big Tosos. So he says, Mikom Makom, Le'inyan Damim Lamatzina B'Shum Makom Kevesh Kemizbeach. Meaning, Tosos points out that what I said back in the Mishnah, that the ramp is a Mizbeach, it's really hard to imagine. Tosos says that if you follow the Masechta closely, you'll see the ramp never really qualifies as part and parcel of the Mizbeach. Tosos therefore is of the opinion that what you cannot say that Shmuel is going on every case in the Mishnah. Tosos gives another example. Just read a little bit more. Don't tell me that the blood of an inner Mizbeach, right, that was sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach, it's considered close enough. That can't be. And he quotes Gemara's later on that prove that point as well. So in other words, Tosos, even though Shmuel does not make any distinctions in the Mishnah, and Shmuel seemingly saying that in all these cases, the owner of the carbon has received a kapara, in all these cases, but Tosos says it's hard to imagine. But as Ben points out though, it's hard to imagine, but first of all, Shmuel doesn't make any distinction. And the Gemara doesn't make any distinction within Shmuel. And you could make the argument, meaning it's harder to, but you could make the argument that in every one of the cases of the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, you received a kapara because it's close enough. But certainly a harder position to argue. Okay. Tanan bi'idach pirkin. Okay, so far what do we have? Our Mishnah that teaches us that if I hit the blood on the Mizbeach in the wrong location, so according to Shmuel, kapara has been achieved. The Pasuk says, Va'anina sati lachem al ha-Mizbeach, L'chaper, any part of the Mizbeach serves as a kapara, and though even though kapara has been achieved, but you get, the Mishnah says pasul and pasul, meaning you're not allowed to eat the meat. That is the pshat in the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Problem? Well, not a problem, but another Mishnah to take into consideration. This Mishnah is coming up in a couple of days from now. Meaning, as we go, as tomorrow's daf, we start with the pigel sugya, and then today's almost like an intro to the pigel sugya. But in other words, nasu al kevesh shlo kenegad yisod. So, the Mishnah sounds very similar to our Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming up on Daf Lamed Beis a couple days from now. It sounds awfully similar. In other words, not only awfully similar, it's basically the same point of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah over there happens to be discussing and describing what happens if somebody who was not fit to bring the blood, does so, and he hits it on the wrong location. So the Mishnah says, okay, if there's more Dama Nefesh, now at this point in time, if we're like, let's say a minute later, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, it's hard to imagine that there's more Dama Nefesh. But if we're in a situation where, let's say, more Dama Nefesh was already collected, in other words, if we have any more Dama Nefesh, so Yachzer Kasher V'Kabel. So have somebody Kasher come, accept the Dama Nefesh, and do the sprinkling with the Dama Nefesh. Now, Isa Kadachishlo Mimkomakim Kamo, Lamali Yachzi Akashavi Kabo. So the Gemara says, so now I don't understand. Shmuel, you have just taught us that Shlo Mimkomakim Kamo. Which means then that when the blood has been sprinkled, even though it's been sprinkled in the wrong location, but you were close enough and that's fine. Fine meaning that the owner has received a kapara. So what the Gemara now is asking is, I don't understand. The Mishnah later on that says, well, let's do it again. Let's have somebody kasher taking the Dama Nefesh and sprinkling on the Mizbeach. Shmuel, why would that be required? Now, the Gemara says, now I know possibly what you're thinking. Maybe so that we can eat the meat. Meaning, because even though Shmuel says that kapara has been achieved, but even Shmuel will agree that you're not allowed to eat the meat. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says pasul. And so maybe what we're doing is taking the second dama nefesh and sprinkling on the mizbeach again so that we can eat the meat. The Gemara says, mi ika zrika delo mechaperes v'sharia basar ba'achila. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Meaning kapara by definition, or I should say better, sprinkling of the blood by definition is there to achieve a kapara. The only time that the blood is going to be sprinkled on the mizbeach is only to receive a kapara. The fact that it also allows meat to be consumed, so that's fine. Meaning, yes, as a secondary benefit of sprinkling of the blood. But in other words, they're correct. It's matir. But it's not. You're not going to be sprinkling blood on the mizbeach simply to be matir the meat, in order to, for the meat to be consumed. So in other words, that only comes as a result of the sprinkling being a sprinkling that's mechaper. Only a zrika that's mechaper is allowing the meat to be consumed. But a sprinkling that's not mechaper does not allow the meat to be consumed. Since over here we are, the kapara has already been achieved, second sprinkling is simply not going to be matering the meat. That's not going to be permitting the meat.
Because the first sprinkling was mechaper, yet you can't eat it.
Oh, fine. That's fine. In other words, sprinkling can work even without the meat being eaten, but the opposite is not true. Meat being eaten cannot be done by sprinkling that's not mechaper. So, idiavi kasher hachanami, achibai maskin, idiavi pasul. So the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, you're right, but the Mishnah over there, meaning the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, is not talking about where somebody who was kasher did the sprinkling, but the Mishnah over there is talking about somebody who was pasul doing the sprinkling. So the Gemara says, velavi dichuiz, the Gemara says, fine. So the Mishnah over there is talking about where somebody who was pasul collected the blood and did the zrika. The Gemara says, fine, and under those circumstances, shouldn't we be talking about dichuiz did none? The Gemara here quotes another Mishnah. V'kulan shekiblu chutzus man v'chutzum kamo. So if anyone of them accepted it, either chutzus man or chutzum kamo, meaning anyone who's pasul, accepted the blood, and with an intent of either to eat it beyond its prescribed time or beyond its prescribed location, im yesh dama nefesh yachzor habas v'kabel. So so simply have somebody else accept the dama nefesh and then be able to sprinkle. Now the Gemara, after quoting this Mishnah, the Gemara makes the following diuk. Kiblu in, zarku lo. That's only if somebody who was pasul was mekabel the dam. But let's say somebody was pasul, did the zrika, presumably at that point in time now, nidcha. Meaning the carbon now was pushed off, it's now rejected. So it's a rejection of the carbon, and therefore you don't get a second chance. So the Gemara says lo. So, kiblu in zarku lo, my time alam b'shum David dichui, and presumably, says the Gemara, the reason why is because of this principle of rejection. When I have somebody who is not qualified to do the zrika, so then the carbon has undergone rejection, and therefore you don't get a second chance. The Gemara says not necessarily lo. Mishum depasul b'machshava. Now the Gemara says, no, the reason why you're not getting a second chance in that particular case is because of the machshava. In other words, in that Mishnah, what the person did when accepting the blood, he had a machshava of either chosuz mano or chosum kama. Ihachi kabalinami. So the Gemara says, really, machshava? Machshava is the issue over there. Machshava is true by zrika. Machshava is true by kabbalah. Why would the Mishnah make any kind of distinction? And va'od mi pasul machshava, the Gemara says, and also, if we're talking about somebody who's a non-kohen, doing either the kabbalah or the zrika, you really mean to tell me that he can even have a machshava va'amarava? The Gemara tells us the rule of Rava, which is ein machshava mo elas ela b'mishur or lavoda. Meaning, in terms of having a machshavas pigol of chutzes man or chutzem kamo, first of all, there's a who, there's a what, and there's a where. Meaning, who can have a machshavas pigol? Meaning, who can even have such a machshava? Anyone can have a machshava, but meaning, who can have an effective machshavas pigol? So first and foremost, only a kohen. Meaning, only somebody who can do the avoda can have a machshava. That's a who. Uvedavar haroy lavud avoda, and what? Meaning, and what can you have a machshava on? You can have a machshava on only something which is fit as a carbon. Something that's not fit as a carbon cannot have a machshava. Now, that kind of is obvious.
Is it kohen or a korban?
That was the who. The who question is a kohen. Kohen and only a kohen. Non-kohanim cannot have a machshava's pigol. Meaning, they can have the machshava, but it's not going to be effective. Two is a what, meaning it has to be only on something which you normally do an avoda with. If it's something you don't normally do an avoda with, there's no machshavas pigol. Now, if you think about this, what does that mean, something that you don't normally do an avoda with? What's that? Meaning if it's not a carbon, so then what are we even talking about? Rashi over here, really interesting, Rashi. Rashi over here says that what do we when we say something that you don't normally do an avoda with Rashi uvedavar haroyla avoda, it's about six lines down after the lines start after the lines get wider in the Rashi uvedavar haroyla avoda. Rashi says minchas chitim lafuke minchas haomer. Really interesting Rashi. When you offer carbon mincha, so 9 out of 10 times, made up number. So the when you offer normally a carbon mincha, so it's made up of wheat. There is, however, a carbon omer that's made up of barley, and that, of course, is a minchas omer. On the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan, so the carbon omer is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and what that does is it serves as a matir. It allows for all grains to be consumed, all grains that grew over the past year. Fine. Rashi points out over here, the lo chayil aleha pigol, right? There is no pigol on the minchas omer. Why not? Rashi goes on to explain. Le'anish karis b'achilaso. Rashi does not go on to explain. I'll explain. So the reason why not is because it is so unusual. Meaning that when we're talking about mincha always comes from wheat. Mincha almost never comes from barley. So here you have something, meaning the second day of Pesach, the 16th day of Nisan, where I'm bringing a mincha from barley, which in the world of karbanos, in the world of menachos, is highly unusual. In fact, it doesn't recur under other circumstances. So here, there is no pigol that applies to the minchas omer, because it's such an unusual karban. Okay? So in other words, so we already discussed the who, we already discussed the what, and the where of a makam harai lavod, and it has to be in a place where you could do the avoda, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. Having machshava outside the Beis HaMikdash just simply does not register as a machshava. So in other words, so when you're talking about pigol, so very clearly it has to be a person doing the avoda who's eligible to do the avoda on something where we normally do avoda with, meaning it has to be a karban, and even by a mincha, it has to be something that's normally brought as a mincha, and only in a place where I could do the avoda. So, if you're telling me that the Mishnah over there is talking about where the pasul, where the non-Kohen did the avoda, and the reason why it becomes disqualified is because of the machshava, so the Gemara says there's no such machshava. We just simply ignore the machshava. So, lo tema zarku lo, ela ema shachtu lo. So the Gemara says, okay. So look, again, the Mishnah over there on Lamed Beis talks about where he was mekabel dam. And over there we said, well, you see, the problem is that he had a machshava during the Kabbalah. To which the Gemara says, apparently rejects that idea because he can't have a machshava during the Kabbalah. Or let me say it better. It doesn't register. In other words, he's not a Kohen. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But you know when it does register? It registers when he shechs the animal. Oh, correct. In other words, when you have a non-Kohen shechting the animal, such a shechita would be a good shechita. As we pointed out, shechita is lav avoda. Shechita is not an avoda, meaning it could be done by a non-Kohen. Now, oddly enough, right, Hadi and I were discussing this after shir yesterday. Shechita is not an avoda, but meanwhile you can have a machshava during shechita? And the answer is yes. That's right. Meaning, I know that's a little bit confusing, but that's the rules. The rules are, on one hand, shechita is not an avoda, but on the other hand, if you have a machshava during shechita, that machshava is going to be a significant machshava, which eventually may create pigol. So now, the way to understand the Mishnah is that if a non-Kohen were to do Kabbalah with a machshava, so the machshava is just simply ignored, because he's not a Kohen. But if such an individual back up a step, but if such an individual did shechita with a machshava, so that would be significant, because non-Kohen can do shechita. Ela ema shachtulo. My kamashul and the pasul machshava tanina. The Gemara says, okay, but that's coming up in a Mishnah later on. The Mishnah later on says, l'ficha chein posim b'machshava. The Mishnah says it straight out. Meaning, we're trying to learn this from an encryption in a Mishnah, when meanwhile, the Mishnah later on will say it straight out. So the Gemara says, so why do I need another Mishnah to kind of allude to this idea when we have a Mishnah that tells us straight out that a machshava had by a non-Kohen when doing shechita is in fact registered as a machshava. Ha kamashlan de mekabala ve'elech lapasa machshava my time akid rava. The Gemara says you're right. But in other words, one Mishnah is there to teach us that a machshava by a non-Kohen during shechita is a valid machshava. That's one Mishnah. The next Mishnah is coming to emphasize that, but if he has a machshava at a later avoda, either Kabbalah or Holacha or Zrika, that is not going to be considered a machshava. The reason why is because the way Rava explained it. Because any non-Kohen who is doing a later avoda, simply because he can't do the avoda, any machshava that he has simply does not register as a machshava. Okay. Meisvei. Again, where are we right now? Let's remind one another. So our Mishnah says that if I sprinkle the blood in the wrong location, so Shmuel says you have achieved kapara, but the word, when the Mishnah says pasul at the end, pasul means that we're not allowed to eat the meat. Fine. Meisvei. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah later on. Chishav liten asinitan lamala lamata, lamata lamala, la alter, a kosher. Okay. Let's say the Kohen now says the following. As he's doing one of the avodas, the Kohen has a machshava of the, when doing any one of the avodas, that he is going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, and he's going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, but just simply wrong location. Okay. So the Mishnah says under those circumstances, the kasher. The carbon would be a kasher carbon. Okay. Why would it be kosher? Because, in other words, because right now, in other words, even though it's the wrong location on the mizbeach, but no, I understand that. But in other words, in order for something to be either pigol, you have to be either chutzes man or chusim kama, meaning that it has to be consumed either in the wrong location or in the wrong time. So the Mishnah tells us that as long as he's planning on sprinkling it on the mizbeach, albeit the wrong location on the mizbeach, but the Mishnah says it would be kasher. Chazer, la'alta kasher. However, chazer v'chishev, chutz limkamo, pasal, v'ein bo karetz. Chutz l'zmano, pigo v'chayavan alav karetz. However, if let's say in a second avoda, in a subsequent avoda, let's say he then has a machshava of either chutz limkamo or chutz l'zmano, so then, that would result in pigo. We've gone over this point before, but let me just make sure that we're clear on this point. Meaning, when it comes to machshavas pigol, pigol comes in basically two versions, right? Pigol major, pigol minor. Okay, you don't have to love my terminology, but pigol major is where it's chutzes mano. In other words, so that when the Kohen says that it's going to be consumed outside of its prescribed time, so in other words, by shlamim, I'll use the example given in the Torah. By shlamim, let's say the Kohen says that I'm going to eat, or the owner of the animal is going to eat the carbon. 3 days after Shechta, that's Chutzes Mano, that's outside prescribed time, and now as long as all four avodas are done correctly, so now the animal has pigol status. And consumption of the animal results in Issacharis. That's pigol major. Pigol minor is Chutzim Kamo. Where let's say the Kohen says that the animal is going to be consumed outside of its prescribed location. And so therefore under those circumstances the animal also is pigol, but pigol minor. And pigol minor meaning that it's a lav, it's a prohibition to eat the carbon, but it's not Issacharis. Fine. So in other words, so over here, as long as the Kohen now has a subsequent machshava of chutzim kamer chutzim mano, so the animal now is pigle, and again, pigle major, pigle minor. Now, lamachar, pasul, lamachar, pasul. Let's say now, the next case in this Mishnah is talking about where he plans on sprinkling, but in articulating when he plans on sprinkling, he says, I'm going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow. Okay, not today. Now, remember, pigol means that the Kohen does one of the dalet avodas with the blood with an intent of consumption occurring beyond its prescribed time. Now, when I say consumption can come in many different ways. Consumption could be talking about the consumption of the meat of the animal by either the Kohen or the owner. Consumption could be the mizbeach with the parts of the animal that go onto the mizbeach, depending on what kind of carbon it is. Consumption can also mean zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach that also is viewed as a consumption. So when we talk about achila has a broad definition. It just simply means that somebody or something is going to be consuming part of the carbon. Now, the Mishnah is describing a scenario where, as the Kohen is shechting the animal, he says, limachar, meaning I'm going to be sprinkling the blood tomorrow. So, pasul. So, under those circumstances, but keep in mind though, in other words, we have to keep to the beginning of the Mishnah and stay faithful to the beginning of the Mishnah. Where is he planning on sprinkling it? In the wrong location. meaning the blood should have gone in the upper portion, and he says that he's going to sprinkle on the lower portion, but he says he's going to do so tomorrow. So lamachar pasul. So now such a carbon would be pasul. Chaz v'chishev ben chutz zman ben chutz mkom ma pasul ben bokaris. Okay. And then with the subsequent machshava avai the chutz zman or chutz mkom, so the animals are going to be disqualified, but ain't bokaris, but there's not going to be karis. Now the reason why there's not going to be karis over here, again, one of the rules that we're going to keep hitting on with pigle again and again, is that in order for an animal to receive the status of pigle, all the avodas must be done correctly. If they're not done correctly, the animal does not result in pigle. Now the Gemara says, now let's take everything we learned and let's try to put it all together. Shmuel says that when you hit the Mizbeach at any part of the Mizbeach, shelo bimkomo, kimkomo. Meaning it's certainly not the best, but nevertheless, though, the Mizbeach is the entire Mizbeach is able to receive the blood and able to achieve kapara. Now, v'ishelo bimkomo, kimkomo dami, hai pasul pigelho. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Meaning, so effectively now, in this case, where the Kohen says, while shechting the animal, I'm going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach tomorrow. That's pigle. And even though he says that he's going to sprinkle it on the wrong location, but again, Shmuel's of the opinion, Shalom bimkamas kamkamo. Every part of the Mizbeach is able to provide kapara. So that means basically now the Kohen is saying that the Mizbeach is going to consume the blood through Zrika tomorrow. Isn't this a classic example of chutz l'zmano? And shouldn't the result therefore be pigle? That's a tenet in terms of the rules of pigle. So under those circumstances, why is it now that Shmuel, when learning that Mishnah, why isn't he bothered by that Mishnah? Chutzim komos kem komo. Every part of the Mizbeach therefore is considered part and parcel of the Mizbeach to provide kapara. So therefore, when the Kohen says that I'm going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach tomorrow, it shouldn't matter where on the Mizbeach he sprinkles the blood. And even if he declares that he's going to be sprinkling in the wrong location, but still, vis-a-vis Kapara, there's no such thing as wrong location. It's all the right location. So why shouldn't it arrive to the conclusion of, hey, this is an example of pigle? That's the question. Amar Mazrucho Zrika Deshaya Basar Ba'achila Maisi Lede Pigle. Zrika de lo sharia basu bachila lamaisi lede pigle. So the Gemara says, okay, we're gonna throw in a qualifier. And the following qualifier, as taught to us by Marzutra, which is that you are only going to arrive at the conclusion of pigle when and only when the Zrika allows for the consumption of the meat. If this kind of Zrika does not allow for the consumption of the meat, so we don't arrive at a place of pigle. So in other words, a significant qualifier within the rules of pigle. Pigle only is when Zrika allows for the meat to be eaten. Or would have allowed the meat to be eaten. Remember, by the way, if we result in pigle, so then no one's allowed to eat the meat. But to get to the point of pigle, it has to be where this Zrika would have allowed for the consumption of meat. Shmuel says, remember, I do say that sprinkling on the Mizbech, any part of the Mizbech arrives at a point of kapara. Meaning the entire Mizbech is mechaper. But the Mishnah taught us that if I sprinkle the blood in the wrong location, pasul meaning, according to Shmuel, I'm not allowed to eat the meat. So therefore, this is the kind of Zrika that does not allow for the consumption of the meat. Therefore, this is not the kind of machshava that would result in pigle. Amalei Rav Ashlam Arzuchim and Allah Dechsiv. And how do I know that this is in fact so? That in order to arrive at pigle, it has to be the kind of zrika which would allow for the consumption of the meat. The pasuk says, "Im he'achol ye'achel mi'basar zevach shlamav, pigle yiyeh." That if the Kohen were to consider eating the meat after its prescribed time, so then pigle yiyeh, it's pigle. Misha pigulo garam lo. The only time that it arrives in pigle is when pigle and only pigle is the prevention of him eating the meat. However, over here, when the Kohen declares that he's going to be sprinkling the blood in the wrong location, it's not the pigle that's preventing him from eating the meat, it's the fact that he's sprinkling in the wrong location that prevented him from eating the meat, and therefore pigle does not apply. Pigle applies only when the only blemish, so to say, in the avoda that was done, is pigle and only pigle. Okay. Ihachi. Ipsule nami, lo lifso. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then, why is it then that the carbon is even subject to becoming pasul? So the machshava shouldn't pasul. So Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mida Dehavi Am Machshava is Hinuach Valiba De Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says no, because the by virtue of the fact that he plans on leaving the blood over for tomorrow, the fact that he plans on sprinkling in the wrong location. So again, that achieves kapara. That in of itself is fine. But by virtue of the fact that he plans on leaving the blood over, so according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that is a psul, and as a result of that, that's why the carbon is subject to the psul. Okay. Icon, that all takes us now through our first opinion of the Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah says that if you sprinkle blood in the wrong location of the Mizbeach, so the Mishnah says pasul. Shmuel introduces a tremendous chiddush, which is that pasul is only going on the meat of the carbon. The carbon itself is mechaper for its owner. The Kohen has provided a kapar for the owner by hitting the Mizbeach. Every part of the Mizbeach is subject to providing kapara. We quoted a pasuk, "Vanin nesat lechem al mizbeach lechaper." So truth be told, wrong location is not so bad from the perspective of the owner. In terms of the ability to eat the meat, you cannot eat the meat of the carbon. It does pasul vis-a-vis the consumption of the meat. That is Shmuel's opinion, and as far as does Shmuel mean it by every case of the Mishnah, even when you hit the ramp. No. He's just talking about our Mishnah. Just our Mishnah. Yeah, but I hear you. But he's just explaining our Mishnah. In other words, no, he's not giving a thesis on what the word puzzle means in general. Just in our Mishnah. Okay, so that is the opinion of Shmuel within our Mishnah. Reish Lakish Amar. So now this is now opinion number two. We are in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. Reish Lakish Amar Lo Olam Pasul Mamish. So no, in other words, when the Mishnah says Pasul means Pasul Mamish. Veshalabim Kamakim Kamadami. And then just to confuse us a little bit, he says, and oh by the way, close is considered good enough. Now that's confusing, right? Because on one hand, Shmuel Reish Lakish says, and when the Mishnah says Pasul, it means Mamish, meaning the carbon's not good at all. Not to provide kapar for its owner, not so that we can eat the meat, meaning not good at all. But then Reish Lakish says, and oh, by the way, I agree with Shmuel, Shalobim Kamas Kim Kamo. That as long as you hit the Mizbeach, even though you didn't hit the right location of the Mizbeach, so you're good. You get a check. So the Gemara says, Velo Kasha. Now, basically what the Gemara is saying is, I know what you're thinking, and that is, of course, that's impossible to understand. Like what? If Shalobim Kamas Kim Kamo, so then what does that mean, Pasul Mamish? No, the Mishnah should say that you are, that it's fine, meaning the owner has received a kapara, like Shmuel said. How is Reish Lakish not agreeing with Shmuel if he holds the same principle of Shmuel, which is Shlobim Kamus Kam Kamo? And Kan Shenasim B'Shtika, Kan Shenasim B'Amira. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you the difference. The difference is as follows. Is that if, let's say, the blood was applied in the wrong location and was done so B'Shtika, meaning there was no machshava. There was no machshava's pigol, no chutzim kamo, no chutzim mano. In other words, it was just done, but with no bad declaration that went alongside it. Under those circumstances, so then we're good. Meaning the owner has in fact received a kapara. Meaning because he agrees with Shmuel. Shalom ben kamo was considered kim kamo. However, if he was nasan ba'amira, if when he did the sprinkling of the blood, he also made a declaration. So under those circumstances, now what do we have?
What is he declaring?
Chutzim man or chutzim kamo. In other words, one of the two.
He's saying that intentionally applying this in the wrong place.
Yeah. No, in other words, he's going to know. In other words, while sprinkling the blood in the wrong location, he either thinks about how the animal is going to be consumed, either in the wrong time or in the wrong place. So
But the application is the right to be correct, per se?
In other words, because the application was okay, so therefore now the animal is going to be subject to the psul of pigle. Now, and he was no sin ba'amira. So the Gemara now is, I'm sorry, and that's what Amish is describing, and that's what Amish is talking about. Now, how come, again, I'll just restate the Gemara that we said earlier. So if Shalobim Kam is Kimkamo, so why doesn't it result in bona fide pickle? Meaning, why not just simply say now that it should become bona fide pickle? Meaning, okay, he didn't hit the right location, but hitting the Mizbech is considered close enough. So why doesn't it result in pickle? And what the Gemara now is going to do in two lines of Gemara is basically everything we discussed for Shmuel, we're going to say now for Reish Lakish as well. Meaning, I'll just read the Gemara. Tanan chishav li tenas neitam lamata lamala lamala lamata ad midid dahave amachshav esinuch valibid Rav Yehuda. The Gemara basically says, you know, the whole discussion that we had from Shmuel, from when Shmuel stated his position to the end, so basically take all that and put it right underneath Reish Lakish as well. Meaning, again, I'll just quickly summarize. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, if Shlobim Kam was Kim Kamo, so when the Kohen sprinkles the blood in the wrong location and he has a machshava of either Chutzes Man or Chutzim Kamo, so why doesn't the animal result in actual pigle? And the answer is because, same thing we said for Shmuel, but let's say it for Reish Lakish. The reason why is because pigle is only when the sprinkling of the blood arrives at the conclusion of het or basar, would have allowed me to eat the meat. But because the sprinkling doesn't allow me to eat the meat, so therefore it doesn't result in pigle. Oh, if it doesn't result in pigle, so why should it be pasal at all? So the Gemara says, because when he has a machshava of leaving it overnight, that's what's called hinuach. According to Rav Yehuda, that results in the carbon being pasul. So too over here, it results in the carbon being pasul.
So, explain the Mishnah through the lens of Rav Yehuda.
So yes, as a Shmuel doing as well. Okay.
So what's the difference?
So the only difference is just simply right. In other words, in terms of principle, they agree. In terms of explaining the Mishnah, they disagree. Meaning when the Mishnah says Pasul, the Mishnah is talking about Pasul Mamish. Why is it Pasul Mamish? Because the Kohen had a Machshava of Pigel, of Chutzes Mano. Meaning, and Shmuel would look at our Mishnah, Shmuel says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. And finally, the third opinion, and that of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Idiv Idish Nasa Mishtika. So Rabbi Yochanan is talking about now, that in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is going to depart from the principle of Shmuel, and the principle of Reish Lakish, it's the same principle, they agree. Rav Yochanan is going to say that no. That our Mishnah is talking about where there was no Machshava Ra, there was no Chutzes Mano, there was no Chutzim Kamo. And you know what the problem is? You did not hit the Mizbech in the right location. And according to Rav Yochanan, if it's not the right location, it's not good at all. If you have no more Dama Nefesh, so now the party is over. Meaning you did not hit the Mizbech on the right location, and there's no more Dama Nefesh. That's why our Mishnah says it's Pasul. The Mishnah later on that says, okay, just simply get more Dama Nefesh, that's talking about a case where there's more Dama Nefesh. But Shmuel's of the opinion that Shalobim Kamas Lavkim Kamo. Now, Vahadika Dama Nefesh, Vahadika Dama Nefesh. Tanan, let's just do a little bit more for this morning. Pasul V'ein Bokaris. Okay, now, we get now to ask the question that I asked earlier this morning, but now we get to answer it being more informed. There are now three opinions of how to understand our Mishnah. Shmuel, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan. The Mishnah ends off with the words of Pasul Vein Bokaris. Bishlam al Reish Lakish, Aina Diktani Pasul Vein Bokaris. Now, according to Reish Lakish, it's perfect. Meaning, why does the Mishnah end off with the words Pasul Vein Bokaris? Because the way Reish Lakish understands our Mishnah not only did the Kohen sprinkle in the wrong location, but complemented also with the Kohen having a machshava of Chutzes Mano and or Chutzim Kamo. But let's stick with Chutzes Mano. It's easier. So in other words, our Mishnah is talking about where the Kohen did now two things wrong. Sprinkle in the wrong location and have a machshava of Chutzes Mano. And that's why the Mishnah at the end has to punctuate the Mishnah with, in this case, there's no Karis. Even though there was a Chutzes Mano. So it's beautiful according to Reish Lakish. But Ella Rav Yochanan Mayim Bokares, but according to Rav Yochanan, where there's no machshava of Chutzes Mano, why would the Mishnah have to then bring up Kares as part of the discussion? It's not part of the discussion. And the Gemara says Kasha. The Gemara says, you know what? Point well taken. Ulushmo Mayim Bokares Hachi Kamar. Im Nasan Bemachshava Pasol Veim Bokares. Meaning, and according to Shmuel would say that, look, if you had a machshav apostle, meaning the Mishnah is not talking about whether it's a machshav apostle, but if you had a machshav apostle, so then there wouldn't be karis. And again, the reason why is because this zrika is not going to result in achilas basar. Okay. And we'll leave ourselves off at this point in time, because the Gemara is going to ask the question, which will begin tomorrow, which is, according to Rav Yochanan, if Shlobim Kama is considered nothing, why not just simply pick the blood and do it again? Meaning, it should be no worse than the blood having spilled on the floor, which, as we learned earlier, if it's in a clean, it spills on the floor, so pick it up and just go to the Mizbech. So why not do that? Why wouldn't Rav Yochanan allow for such a suggestion? That is the last question, really, in the entire sugya. We'll pick this up tomorrow.